Hey, what's up? What's up out there, everyone in radio podcast land? My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And yes, it is another Tuesday, and you are listening to the one and only Carolyn and Freaking Joe show. How you doing, Carolyn?
I'm good, Freaking Joe.
Freaking Joe in the house.
The FJ.
That's how we're gonna quote my name now. So, to start things off, what news do we have here in the local area?
Let me check my touch.
Touch it!
I gotta touch it. Okay.
There we go. The news is upon us.
Carolyn's
gonna take it away.
Alright, so tomorrow, on November 17th, which is Wednesday.
Tomorrow's Wednesday, yes.
You are invited to a panel discussion of DC's emergence on the graphic novel scene. Be there, be square.
That's right.
November 17th from 6 to 8 p.m.
6!
At Bus Boys and Poets, 1025 5th Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. Be there. It's free, by the way.
It's free.
With me, Carolyn Blefsky, Matt Dembitsky, Molly Lawless, and Mike Rode. You're invited. And you should come if you live in the D.C. area.
Absolutely.
Or in the greater D.C. area, which would include Maryland and Virginia. Possibly West Virginia.
That's true. It's very true. What else do we have? We have the Holiday Heist coming up, right?
Yes. On November 21st. You are invited.
Is that the next week? That's next week.
To Holiday Heist. That's on a Sunday. It's all day from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. You need to be at the Sondry at 316 Dominion Road, Northeast Vienna, Virginia. We'll have everything there. We'll be there, possibly wearing Santa hats.
That's right. Hopefully we have some Christmas lights happening at that time, too.
Would you be wearing a Santa hat at this event?
I don't know, because I'm not really a hat-type person, so it's a little bit of a challenge for me to wear any type of hat. Maybe in the future that will happen when I finally make my hair shorter. But still, I don't know what type of hats I can usually wear. A Santa hat might look a little weird on me. It just might, America and the rest of the United World Nations.
Do you think I should wear a Santa hat?
Yeah, why not? You should. Your head looks good with hats, you know what I mean? You got that hat good head.
Good head.
You know, there's some people that look good with hats, some that don't, you know, and you got that hat head that you can wear hats with. I have to wear, like, beanies and stuff like that, or, like...
Beanies? Like, one with, like, the little spinner around it?
The what?
Like, you know those, like, ball caps with the spinner? Aren't those called beanies?
I don't think so. Is that what Jughead wears?
Like, propeller?
That's what Jughead wears, doesn't he? No, Jughead wears a crown. I bet I can rock a crown.
You're gonna be the homecoming queen.
Yes,
the king.
I'm gonna be the queen of this one. We're gonna do it that way, that whole entire style.
Look, it's Freaking Joe, the homecoming queen.
Where are you now, homecoming king and queen? Where are you now? Do you wonder if people put that on their resume? I was the homecoming queen of this year. Is that something that's very substantial in people's lives these days?
I don't know what's up with people's lives, but didn't Dakota Fanning become homecoming queen twice in a row?
Look at her now. Now she's in Twilight.
Now she's in movies.
So if you are homecoming queen, you too can be in Twilight.
Actually, I think it went the other way around. Like, she was in Twilight first. Like, she was in movies first, and then now she's a homecoming queen. So it was like a step back.
Was she in Twilight before her homecoming queen? Do you think Twilight had something to do with her getting the vote to be the homecoming queen?
Maybe.
I'm not quite sure, though. I'm not. That would have been the
politics. She was homecoming queen last year, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I think there's some high school politics in play. I think some Wildcats are, like, you know, whatever the other...
Because, like, at first I had, like, a deja vu.
She's all that type
a deja
thing
vu
happening.
Moment. Because, like, you know, I found about this... What's her name again?
Dakota Fanning?
Yes, Dakota Fanning. I found about...
In mid-sense, we lose touch. It happens to me all the time. Like, who? Like, you know this bitch? What bitch were we talking about again?
Yeah, like, so Dakota Fanning, like, I didn't, like, on purpose look for this news. Like, at my work computer, like, the Yahoo News is the homepage. And so, like, whenever I refresh the browser, like, this Yahoo News pops up. And then, the lead story of that moment was, like, Dakota Fanning is homecoming queen
for
her high school.
Imagine that. It's, like, not only... not only did you like possibly make like the high school newspaper or what, like the Bear, you know, the Bruin Times or whatever they call it.
The Berenstein Bear.
Yeah, the Berenstein Bear Times. Whatever, the Wolf Club. I don't know what type of, they always have weird names. Anything involving school always has weird, lame names. Nothing really is ever that. But yeah, but not only that, but then you're on TMZ. It's like now the whole world knows that you're home. You're homecoming queen of the whole world.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Well, like, at first I was like, didn't I read this article last year?
But she's two-time.
Then I was like, well, I guess this is her second win.
I don't know anyone that was homecoming queen, actually, from many years ago in high school for me. Homecoming queen. It's not like they wore, like, a sash. You know what I mean?
I think they did have a sash.
No, but, like, it's not like, did they wear it, like, throughout, like, the week or something like that?
I don't think so. Maybe just that day. And then they are like in the parade.
And they're like, I'm too cool for, oh yeah, there's a parade, so you can wear.
And then
wear,
they wear the sash. And then they wave. And they're like, look at me, you, I'm in a convertible.
You represent the team. Like, you're the female and male king and queen representative Going into the homecoming game.
Yeah.
What if you lose? Then it's all your fault.
If you lose, then it's pathetic.
Pathetic. It's all your fault.
I don't know. I guess Dakota Fanning was like, I saw a picture of it, and it was just like her with a football, like, quarterback guy.
Are you a big fan of Dakota Fanning? In general?
What's she been in?
She was in War of the Worlds.
I like that movie.
Twilight.
I haven't seen Twilight, and I don't ever plan on seeing that.
Remember she was in that, wasn't she, like, didn't she get, like, raped in a movie, and people, like, shunned it? And they're like, no, and she's like, no, I volunteered for that. I wanted to be in that movie.
She didn't volunteer. She got paid for that. Yeah, that wasn't a free.
Well, yeah, just because someone's giving you money doesn't mean you have to take it.
Yeah.
Though. But, you know, she stood up for the artistic credibility. I never saw that movie, but that was the only thing I heard from that movie. Is like, it's like there's that scene, and that's all people can think about is that scene. Apparently she didn't have, like, ice cream or anything else in that movie. It's just this one sex act. I don't know what it really started. It's that. What else did Dakota Fanning do? She did Runaways with
I never saw that.
With Kristen Stewart, also from Adventureland, and that movie Twilight.
Well, I never saw that movie, but I mean, I don't know if I can give a great assessment on Dakota Fanning.
So your only assessment?
I've only seen her from in War of the Worlds, and I thought she was fine in that.
But the main thing that you know of Dakota Fanning now is basically that she's the homecoming queen.
Yeah, she's the homecoming queen.
She's the biggest homecoming queen on Earth, on planet Earth.
She's the queen of the homecoming queens.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so
that's
Scott,
what her sash says, that queen the of queen, the homecoming queens.
Queen of the homecoming queens.
Yeah.
The all-powerful one homecoming queen. Yeah, I've never really thought much of Dakota Fanning. So I guess she's a good actress. I don't know. She's still in that sort of zone.
Well, I guess from what I gathered from the little blurb that I read online is that she's, like, trying to, you know, get a normal high school life of going to dances and being homecoming queen and being, you know, the head cheerleader. So,
and then just she can just jump right into being in Twilight.
Yeah, and then she can be in Hollywood at the same time.
I guess that's good.
She wants to do it all.
She wants to have her cake and eat it too. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's fine. Yeah, so we were talking about this before. So Scott Pilgrim versus the World just came out on Blu-ray and DVD, where you can buy Blu-ray and DVD.
Did it come out on VHS?
Yes. And that's the prime. That is what they recommend that you watch it on, is on standard def VHS, like where you have to, like, buy two tapes to get all of it. That's what they recommend. They want you to.
I have Titanic like that.
I don't even have Titanic on DVD or anything like that. But yeah, Scott Pilgrim came out. It's one of those movies for me, came out on DVD, Blu-ray, bought it on Blu-ray. Because for one thing, when we saw it, it was like, no, this is different. But yeah, like, I was meaning to see it, like, live and in person in the theater. But just, you know, stuff happens. And I'm not able to see it. I wasn't able to see Scott Pilgrim. I wasn't able to see this and that and other movies. The last movie I saw in the theater that I remember was Inception, I think. It's either Inception or Toy Story 3. Were those movies? Was that? I think those are other ones I watched, but you brought up the fact of, like, you know, so we just saw Scott Pilgrim. It was like, yay, it was cool, Scott Pilgrim, you know, and then we accidentally saw it on because, you know, in the packaging they give us the DVD or the Blu-ray version, and we just popped in popped in one disc, and then we come to realize later on that we watched the standard def version of it, you know. Did you feel there's a difference there? Did you have that shock and awe?
At first, I didn't notice until you told me.
And we're like, wow, wait a minute, this is... I mean, we've seen Blu-ray movies before, but it was just a normal misunderstanding. But what were your impressions of Scott Pilgrim now that we've had the chance to see it?
We did see it in Blu-ray as well.
Yeah, we saw it in Blu-ray as well. Like, I had to watch it. I was like, no, I haven't filled the whole entire request yet. I need to enjoy this in its full capacity of what it's meant to be. You know, the first thing, of course, the sound is different, you know. This was one of those movies I felt would, you know, how you have so many movies in 3D coming out today. Do you think this would have been a movie that would have been more amazing on 3D?
Maybe, but I feel like 3D is a little on its way out already.
But even though, like, looking at this, watching this movie, like, a lot of it, there's a lot of things that are flying
scenes,
at you.
The fight scenes would have probably been interesting if they were in 3D. But the rest of the movie does have, like, a little bit of, like, a slowness to combat the fight scenes.
But also you have things, like, visual things that are popping out at you.
Yes.
And, like, those
I
are...
I like that.
Like, whenever, like, the phone rings or, like, even when he was, you know, slamming his head on... any, you know, like, when he goes through a wall, there's always, like, poof or... even thoughts and stuff like that. What'd you feel about that?
I like that a lot. That would have been cool to see in 3D.
Do you think, yeah, that would definitely have been a 3D movie type situation?
I think it could have done well in 3D.
I definitely think, because I was sort of like, when I was all excited, you know, I was on the Scott Pilgrim high after I watched it. I was like, cool, man, sex bombs. And then, you know, then I read about it, like, after watching the movie, like, you know, I didn't really pay attention to how all of the money making is happening in the theater at that time. I don't know what's going to happen. I guess we were just busy. But... I come to read about it on Wikipedia, like, late at night, and then I find out that they didn't make their money back. They made, like, you know, they cost, like, maybe what, like, 80 to 90 million, then they get rebates, so it was, like, 60 million to make, and then they make about, like, what, 35 or 45. What are your thoughts on that?
Because made, like, 50%?
Yeah, they made 50%, like, in the box office, like, in the theaters. Like, to me, that was upsetting, because I thought this was a movie that would have been, like, perfect for today.
Yeah, from, like, a executive standpoint, like, any project you say, like, okay, we went through with this project, it was greenlit, everything was great, like, we got all the actors that we wanted to be in the film. Like, everything, from what I can tell, they pretty much got what they asked for.
Yeah.
And then, like, to see the end result be like, oh, only 50%, especially when you're dealing with, like, millions of dollars.
And also, like,
it's like...
And you're seeing stuff
that's disappointed from that outcome.
And you're seeing stuff like at Comic-Con, right? You see, like, the cast is there at Comic-Con and everyone is getting, like, you know, all these people get free tickets and everyone's all excited about it. Like, I watched that hype and I'm like, wow, this movie's going to be huge. Maybe that was part of me. Part of me was like, this is going to be huge. I don't really need to watch it in the theater. You know, maybe I can chill out and just watch it whenever I have chance. And then to find out that it didn't really get huge, and maybe How to Train a Dragon was massive or something like that, you know?
Yeah, do you know what films beat it, like, those weeks?
I don't know.
Because maybe that would be interesting to find out.
Maybe it was How to Train Your Dragon.
Because I heard actually more about How to Train Your Dragon 3D than Scott Pilgrim.
And that's weird. But I guess...
But what I was saying was, like, that week that Scott Pilgrim came out, like, I'd say the first 2 weeks that Scott Pilgrim was out, everyone was like, oh, man, you need to see this movie. Because, like, you know, I follow a lot of comics people on Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And they're basically like, if you're a comics creator and you don't see Scott Pilgrim, like, you're doing our industry an injustice or disservice, you know, like, you need to support your indie comics, you know, and especially if this one made it to a level of, like, getting optioned for a movie, getting made into a full movie and everything. They were like, you need to support this movie. And, you know, it was like this whole community built around Scott Pilgrim. And I think all those people did see the movie, you know, like, like, a lot of those people saw the movie and they're all supporting it. And even, like, the second week, a lot of people were like, I'm going to support it the second week. Got to go see it again. Oh, man, it was better watching it the second time than the first time.
Yeah.
You know, like, people saying stuff like that. And they really got that drive out. But then it just kind of fizzled. And, you know, and also what I'm curious to know is, like, their marketing plan, like, did they aim towards gamers? I'm assuming that they did.
I mean, the thing is, like, I saw, for the things I, like, the, everything
like,
that I watched.
Like, was it on G4 and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, of course it's on G4.
Well, I don't know. Like, during that time where Scott Pilgrim came out, like, I was, like, super busy. I didn't even have time to go to the movies.
I mean, so. I saw, even online, I saw, you know, traffic from it, I mean, everywhere. You know what I mean? Saw their shirts. People wearing shirts. It was, like... People
and
knew
even
it was
Baltimore,
out.
And even at Baltimore, people, they were wearing Scott Pilgrim shirts at Baltimore Comic Con. Like, Scott Pilgrim was having a presence there.
Yeah, like, people knew that Scott Pilgrim was out. Scott Pilgrim versus the World was out. Even people that didn't know about the comic, was, you know, interested. I mean, like, visually, when you see, like, the trailer and all that stuff and all the craziness, and you're like, wow, my God, it's like a video game. It's like a comic book. You know, it seems like this perfect recipe, you know, and that's one of... It's a situation, to me, it's like you have all the puzzle pieces are in line. You got the hot girl, up-and-coming hot girl. You got Michael Cera, who's made millions already. You know, you have all these pieces, and to find out that it fell flat, I almost think that's like a phenomenon, you know?
What happened?
Let's try to decipher what happened. Like, what is the reason?
I don't know what their competition was, so maybe that would be one thing to look into.
But even though, it's sort of like people would watch this if they wanted to watch it. But one factor I bring up, and I'm just bringing up because of Brian. I was asking Brian, the guy that we produce movies together. I asked him, are you going to see Scott Pilgrim? I've always wanted to see Scott Pilgrim, you know? And he was like, no, I didn't really want to see him. I'm sort of tired of Michael Cera. So that could have been one of the main problems. Do you think he's reached that Seth Rogen moment where we're tired of that?
Do people not like Seth Rogen anymore?
No, but, you know, I'm just... there's, just, I mean...
Like, he's overexposed?
Well, I don't know. No one came to see Zach and Mary. You'd think that, like... You'd think that, like, a person, like, you know, if they're still hot, that money would be made off of that.
Yeah, that's a hard one, because...
So what does Michael Cera have? He's had Arrested Development, Superbad, Juno. You know, millions have been made off of that. What else has he been? He's been
Paper
in that...
Heart.
Yeah, he's... Oh, yeah,
I never heard about that.
That wasn't like a mass distributed one.
He
has that one where he was like American Badass or whatever that movie. Remember he was
American Badass.
Not American, but whatever that movie where he was like, you know, he's basically Michael Cera and he was like trying to be a badass to get this girl.
I don't even remember that.
He's been around. Do you think that might be the factor? Like, oh, everyone's just like, oh, it's another Michael Cera movie. Why do I need to watch that?
Well, because I don't personally mind Michael Cera sometimes, but he does kind of like play that like shy talking to a girl thing, and he's just like,
yeah, you know,
I like you, but I just didn't know if I should ask for your number, but you know,
yeah, but I'm telling you, no,
you're my dream girl.
And he like he mumbles to himself a lot and looks away.
Yeah,
and, like he does that. It's not that cool. And he just like that type. Do you think
so? Like I was wondering. You know, there's a party this Friday. And
oh yeah, yeah.
Just wondering if you'd
be there. Pac-Man is one of those guys. Michael Cera.
I have a band, and I was just wondering if you'd come to the battle of the band.
It was really cute. You know, we don't have to go as friends, but we could go as friends. And
I mean, yeah, that's a little bit overplayed now. You know, like because he does that in every movie.
He was described as what he was supposed to be like the modern American guy or something like that, right?
I mean, he is.
Or it was either that or Seth Rogen. I remember we were comparing that.
Yeah, we were talking at one point about, like, what the... I don't know, modern American guy.
Like,
they're both Canadian.
It's Seth Rogen or it's Michael Cera.
Is Michael Cera Canadian?
Or Brandon Routh.
Is Michael Cera Canadian?
They're all Canadian. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I guess we can't
call
them American
guy. The average guy, basically.
Average guy, I think, is more... It's hard. Because I used to say it was Seth Rogen, but now I think he's more ambitious than that. Because he lost weight, and he's on the track to greatness. You know, he's like
with the Green Hornet coming out,
yeah,
he wants to be a hero.
Yeah, he's like on the track to greatness, and I think he has more going for him than like a lazy slob, which I think is the modern American man.
And that's Michael Cera, then, isn't it?
So he's a lazy slob. But
I don't know. No, I don't know.
I think
he's
a little too. I think he's too caring than the modern American man.
I don't think
the average guy is that caring.
Do you think ladies love the Michael Cera? Is that the reason?
Certain they're girls like, probably like
they're
him.
They're tired of like the big buff dude. They want the like, oh yeah, he could be something. Oh, he's the, you know, sort of charming but scared and nervous.
I personally am not into Michael Cera in that way.
But like, do you think that could have played a factor in like the non-success? Because
possibly.
They made 50% of their money back, and then next week they just dropped out. And that's, you know, not to be harsh, but that was
but
a disappointment. That's a failure.
But in the Hollywood industry, it's like...
That's money that has not been made, that investors are not getting back
and
yet.
And it's all about the money there. Like, if you don't make back your money...
It's all about
it's
return,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like, Michael Cera's like, you know, I don't know what his next movie's going to be, because he always talks about, like, getting out of the industry. But, I think he's always comes back to the industry.
The thing was, he was talking about that while making that movie, like after that movie was done. Like that's because that's when I read with him and Jason Schwartzman in that interview with Jason Schwartzman interviewed Michael Cera in the Interview magazine. Mm-hmm. He was talking about, yeah, just, you know, working on the movie for like 6 months. I'm sort of tired, you know, I don't want to do anything. I'm not exactly, I don't know if that's how he talked about it. And then Jason Schwartzman's like, hey, guy, how you doing, man? That's awesome. Yeah, that was a crazy movie you worked on. Isn't that how Jason Schwartzman talks?
Yeah, it is how he talks. But the thing also with me personally, like, I liked Scott Pilgrim. I don't know how to really rate it, like,
but you
on
rated
star
that,
system or but, whatever. But, like, you know, but...
But you liked Kick-Ass better than Scott Pilgrim. Like, Scott Pilgrim versus Kick-Ass, to you, Kick-Ass won.
Kick-Ass was more entertaining to me.
But let's compare and contrast that. Like, what are the factors here?
Versus okay, so basically we're doing Scott Pilgrim versus...
Scott Pilgrim versus...
Kick-Ass.
Scott Pilgrim versus Kick-Ass, yeah.
Well, they were both two movies based off comic books that came out this year. And, you know, they weren't mainstream comic books, necessarily. So, but they were both very successful comic books in their own right.
And Kick-Ass was independently produced, and...
Yes. And Scott Pilgrim is by...
Universal?
Omni Press.
No, I was talking about the movie.
Oh, okay.
The comic will be a total different world here. This battle will take place only in theaters.
Only in theaters? Well,
fight.
You know, I was definitely like...
Versus.
Yeah, it's like, 3, 2, 1, go!
Go!
Scott Pilgrim versus
Kick-Ass!
Well, you know...
You know what's funny is because I think some people mistake the Michael Cera in those two. No, it might be two different guys.
Another guy?
I think they're all... There's all these people that look like
the
Michael
Cera. The guy from Kick-Ass, though, he does kind of have, like, that same
He's
thing.
British, I think, too.
Yeah, but he
has
that same thing of, like, the shyness, but then he overcomes it.
He looks a little bit tougher than...
He's tougher than Michael Cera. Not, like, super tough. That other comic book movie with Angelina Jolie had a guy like that, too. But he was more tough.
The
Wanted
by the same guy, by Mark Millar.
But you know the guy from Wanted, which I never read the Wanted comic books, so I don't know what that's all about. But
it's not like they didn't follow the movie at all.
Oh really?
Or the movie didn't really follow the book at all.
Well, the guy from Wanted, imagine I felt like he at least had some like oomph to him, but okay. He's like on the top level, and then it's like Kick-Ass, and then Michael Cera,
just
like
so,
on the weakness chart.
Just so you know, with Wanted, that guy, that main character, is supposed to be Eminem. That guy is supposed to be Eminem.
What? Why? In the comic, he's Eminem?
In the comic book, he is Eminem. Like, he looks exactly like Eminem, and he talks just like Eminem. So it's like that. You know what I mean?
They should have got Eminem.
And I think Angelina Jolie's character is black, I think, too. So there's complete difference. So they're, like, they're completely different. Like, the Wanted movie and the...
And actually Wanted was just on TV. I didn't even plan on watching it one day, and we caught it like at the very, you know, I didn't catch it at the very beginning, but it was like very close to the beginning, and then I just kind of watched it and I was impressed. But I still like Kick-Ass more.
Well, Kick-Ass, you know, there's a...
And I just threw in Wanted to that equation of the...
All right, so yeah, basically...
Versus.
Yeah, so you got Scott Pilgrim versus Kick-Ass. I mean, like, and it's a good battle. You know what I mean? It's a good battle. One is more bloody than the other. One is like the reality video game. You know what I mean? If the real world was a video game, and then the one was just like a straight up video game.
Scott Pilgrim's like a video game in his head.
Yeah, it's like, it's not even modern day. Well, sort of. Yeah, yeah.
It's like old school mixed with a little, you know.
But there was, to me...
It's for our generation of the youth.
For me, when I was watching Scott Pilgrim, I'm more gravitate. Yeah, the action was cool, but I'm more gravitated towards the characters, and even like the romance aspect of it I thought was really intriguing.
The thing about the characters that, for me, was a little bit... for lack of a better word, lacking, is that you had these evil ex-boyfriends and then that one ex-girlfriend. To me, I didn't really get as much of the character as I feel like I could have got from some of them. It was just like, angry lesbian. Oh, like, vegan guy, like Brendan Ralph.
Well, it was structured pretty much like a video game. Like, it's just... You know, like one of those side-scrolling, like Streets of Rage, or any one of those, or anything like Street Fighter, where you're just like, you beat one, on to the next one. Beat one, on to the next one. It's not really a story behind; they just appear.
I mean,
that's how
and
I
then
feel.
Like
that's
then
how
it
that...
showed like they were like, how did you go out with this guy? And then it would show like Ramona Flowers being like, yeah, I dated him for like a week in eighth grade.
Yeah.
You know, or like, and then it's like, okay,
for
but
eighth
that's,
grade. You know, I really liked Mary Elizabeth Winstead's like a portrayal of Ramona Flowers. I sort of like that. It was cool because it was sort of contrasty of certain things. Because like she's so bright, like her hair is always changing, but then her persona is always just like, I'm tired of it all. So maybe Michael Cera was almost like the same thing if you think about it. But he was just like more punchier.
But I want to know like what attracted her to Scott Pilgrim.
The movie?
Ramona Flowers? No. Like the character of Ramona Flowers, like what was so attractive of her to be with like Scott Pilgrim?
So, like,
besides I guess he's like the most nicest guy she's ever dated.
So like in comparison, like say like with Kick-Ass, and I forget his name in the movie, the Kick-Ass's character, but like with Kick-Ass's character, the way he got to the girl was that he was pretending to be a gay friend. So he was able to, like, you know, he wanted to be the gay friend that she turns him into straight guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they found a relationship that way, right?
Yeah.
And this one, in Scott Pilgrim, he sort of just, it's the woman of his dreams. But it's like, why is, you know, so basically it's just like Ramona Flowers just found him nice.
Yeah.
And convenient. Yeah. To you.
He was what she needed at that moment.
Yeah, it's just what you need right now. It's like, something without that, all that drama, and all the drama came anyway.
But like, you know, also he didn't really profess his love to her, to be honest with you.
He said lesbians.
Yeah, like, the Asian girl, there's an Asian girl in the movie, her name is Knives, and she's basically like, what is she, 17 years old, and she still goes to high school, and Scott Pilgrim is 22.
Yeah.
And Knives like actually showed her love for Scott Pilgrim. Like there was something there for her, an older guy that was into music, that was in a band, and she kind of wanted to be like a Band-Aid type girl. Yeah. And like cheer them on.
So she's like enjoying all these new experiences.
Yeah, for her, like there was something for her, and she even like did profess her love to Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
She was like,
but isn't that one of your favorite scenes?
Which one?
One of your favorite moments is when that happens.
I don't know if that's my favorite, but she basically like laid everything out on the line for him, and she's like, come meet my parents and like come to my birthday dinner and like meet my parents and stuff. And she's like, because I love you. And then when she says the word love, this is the part I liked. When she says the word love, it like comes out and it's all like floaty,
like
smoke.
A smoke of like spelling the letters.
A pink smoke of the words love, L-O-V-E. And then Michael Cera just blows it away with his hands. Like,
he's like,
it's nothing.
Shoves it off. Like if someone was smoking in his face, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that part. But, you know, like, she at least had something for him. Knives had something for Scott Pilgrim. She professed her love to him. And Scott Pilgrim seemed to like Ramona Flowers, like, a whole lot. But he never actually showed it. To the point, like, he
Wait,
showed
he
it
did.
in the point where he's
fight
fighting.
He had to fight for it, then
he was
gets tired.
It,
it was
but,
a surprise, right?
But you know what? He never really told her to, like, in her face, like, in person.
I feel like
there was a disconnect there. Like, he never actually, like, had enough balls, if you want to put it that way,
to
say something.
Let me see if I can take Scott Pilgrim's side on this. Well, he was surprised that he had to fight the seven deadly exes, right? Seven, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or however many.
You know, like, if you're taken aback by like all of a sudden like the girl of your dreams, and then before you even get, you know, you're dealing with like this love triangle, and all of a sudden you gotta fight this guy, like like hardcore fight. My perspective of Scott is that he gets like so just like taken away by all this. He's like, I don't even know what to. Or in Michael Cera's words, like, what did I do?
I mean, yeah, he was surprised that he had to go through that in order to get more access to her amount of flowers.
I don't think you can just say that like in the beginning either. You can't just like lay down like the love thing. He'd still have to fight, you know what I mean?
Exactly, but I even felt at the very end of the movie, I didn't feel like the love connection that I wanted. I wanted a little bit more.
You want like you see the kiss as opposed to like take my hand to the future type deal?
I didn't mind the hand to the future. I like that. But maybe something needed to be said.
Verbally. What would you want to see?
Him tell her, like, you know, maybe something like,
did he ever say
fighting all those people were worth it for you or something, like, you know, maybe saying that but in like a better way, but like
but
basically
a non-literal way.
Yeah. Like it was like all worth it for you type thing. Like, but instead it was just like, She was grabbing his hand. It wasn't him leading the way. She was leading the way.
But he came up
She's more stronger than him.
But he came up to her to follow her to the, because she was already going to leave.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm through with this. And then Knives was like, oh yeah, this we're spoiling the movie, but it's all good. People have already seen it. Hopefully you've seen it. Fight! But it's like, yeah, she was going to leave because she was like just tired of all this drama. She wanted to get away from all of it. And then Knives was like, you should go with her. That's who you've been fighting for.
Yeah, but it took her to say it too. Otherwise, I think if Knives didn't say that to him at the end,
he would just settle with being with Knives.
Exactly. So there you go. Like, I feel so like Scott Pilgrim is a weak character.
He's a wuss.
Scott Pilgrim, I respect the comics and all that, but as a character in that movie,
he's a little weak. As a real person. Like, so Scott Pilgrim.
So are you siding with me now? I thought you were on Scott Pilgrim's side.
I'm trying to see Scott Pilgrim's side. But basically, what we found out is that Scott Pilgrim would only fight when it's pushed upon him, not when he actually has to own heart.
That might be his personality.
You've got the power of self-respect.
But that might be his personality. You know, some people don't like confrontation, and that's fine. But I just felt like, at least for me in the movie, in order for me to like connect more with Scott Pilgrim, the ending was fine, but it didn't have that extra oomph that was like, okay, this was worth all those fights for this.
Now let's bring it over to Kick-Ass.
I mean, he still got what he wanted.
In contrast with Kick-Ass, what about your perspective with Kick-Ass's storyline?
With the gay thing, or him posing as a gay male friend?
But he still got he got the girl after that. Was that ballsy for him to play the gay act? to be there?
I don't know, because honestly, and this I'm going to actually, because
now we're in comparison of the two. So
I listened to the Dollar Bin review of
Kick-Ass?
Kick-Ass.
No, that's all, you're going to bum rush your thoughts then.
No, but the thing is though, it is a true valid point that if you were that girl in Kick-Ass.
They both have gay guys in both movies.
Yeah. Okay, well, we can talk about that next point, but If you were the girl in Kick-Ass, and you have, like, a gay male friend, and he's the guy that can, like, rub lotion on your back and, like, go shopping with you and stuff like that.
What? Is that gay?
Yeah, wasn't that what they were doing in the movie?
I guess so.
Wasn't he rubbing, like, lotion on her back or something?
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't necessarily meet, like, okay, say you meet a guy that you want to go out with. When you first get to know them and they come into your bedroom, you wouldn't be like, oh, rub this lotion on me. Because, like, that would get you in a sexual situation.
is that what the scene was?
Yeah. Pretty much, right?
Hey, you're gay. Just rub lotion on my back.
Yeah. Like, it would be, like, safe. You know? Like, he was a safe guy that she could trust.
My real question is, how would girls in reality, you know, in the real world, how and why would they need lotion on their back anyway?
I don't know, but we should rewatch it just to make sure what's going on there. But I guess what I'm saying,
like, you're friends with a whole bunch of girls. Are there ever times where they're just like, man, yesterday I just couldn't get this lotion on my back?
I think they like probably put in that scene just so like the young males in the audience could have like that little dream fantasy that they could be in the bedroom with the girl in high school that they liked and like rub her down.
I mean, that's an awesome.
She's just wearing like a bra.
That's an awesome fantasy.
Yeah, so there you go. It was made for the male audience.
Serving for that demographic.
It was made for the young 16-year-old boys.
The male fantasy being fed right there. But still, yeah, so.
But what I'm saying is that as a girl, okay, you really need to put yourself into this situation. You're the girl that's best friends with Kick-Ass. Okay, all along you think that he's just gay.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be, like, really crazy when all of a sudden he's, like, not gay? And he, like, led you on like that. Would you be pissed off? Because, like, I don't know how I would react.
Pissed off, wasn't she?
I don't know if she was super pissed off.
But then she found out he was Kick-Ass or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, but it's like, I feel like there has to be a reaction there. You can't just, like, accept it to be like, oh, well, you're not gay now? You know, it's either one or the other. You can't just, like, change teams like that.
Did he say something? I'm confused. I don't know what it is.
I mean, I know that was his game plan all along, but and even his friends at the end were like high fiving him type thing, and it's like, yeah, that gay plan worked, you know.
Yeah.
But then it's like, if you're a girl and you put all your effort, you know, into that having that gay friend, and you trust him.
Yeah.
You know, trust him enough to go shopping with him, and like, you know, he saw her like half naked in her bedroom, and like, you know, they had their private moments together, like, from the gay friend world.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that all of a sudden shock you as, like, he's a poser? Like, he was just, like, using that to get close to you?
I believe they will feel betrayed. I assume that women will feel betrayed by someone lying to them
for
so long.
See, I think, like, that's a movie line. That was a movie fantasy. And I feel like in real life, probably most women would not be okay with that.
But isn't that what happened? They got, like, she got pissed off or something like that?
I don't think she got that pissed off. If she did, it wasn't, like, really much. It was like, what? Oh, okay, but you're still with me. You know, like, it wasn't really, like, super pissed. It wasn't, like, basically, it wasn't to the point of, like, super unhappy disappointment. Because, like, you think you know somebody, gay or straight or whatever, who they are, and like, that mattered in that scene. So it's, like, you think you knew them, but then they were just, like, posing as something to get to you.
Yeah.
Like, that's using someone in a way. So that's a little bit odd. I mean, it's hard for me to be put in that position because I've never been put in that position with a guy and then all of a sudden they tell me that they're gay. But I would be, like, really pissed off when, like, say, like, if I had a boyfriend and then, like, all along, like, I didn't know that he was gay and then he told me he was gay, I would be pissed off.
Well, yeah.
So if you work about it that way, vice versa,
well, then
wouldn't you be just as pissed off?
Well, then we can bring it back towards the Scott Pilgrim thing of why maybe he was maybe a little bit tired of it too, because all of a sudden he didn't know that Ramona had, like, all these boyfriends. Like, his dream girl had all these boyfriends that he had to fight.
Yeah, and then he fought all of them, and then at the very end she's like, alright, well, see you later.
Yeah, I'm out
and
here.
And then he just kind of stands there until someone tells him what to do.
And to tell you the truth, the real ending of the movie had knives and Scott together at the end.
Really?
They changed it.
The real ending of the book or movie or
the original what? The original ending of the movie, and which you can actually see on the behind the of the on the DVD, is you can see the real ending. The first ending had
the alternative.
Yeah, the alternative ending.
Well, I'll have to check out the alternative
ending.
Is
Knives and Scott, you know, being
I don't think maybe the audiences didn't want to see that at the end. You know, they wanted to make sure he was with Ramona to make it all, like, happy.
Well, you know, I guess Knives brought up a good point of, like, well, you did fight for her.
Yeah, but he should have known that. He should have known that himself instead of having to have a high schooler tell him that.
But she's different. She's grown and changed now.
Well, she did, but, like,
she's different.
Still.
She has different hair. She has, like, she has the Lucy haircut and everything.
That's true. She did change through the movie. Well, I think, actually, out of the whole movie, I think Knives actually changed the most in that movie.
And that's one thing I've heard out of all the critics, is that they say that the most developed was Knives, that she's the one that changed and progressed throughout the whole entire movie.
Exactly.
And like, almost like the glue. Not the glue, but, you know, it's like...
And actually, she was the better person for it, you know? Like, at one point, she was, like, super jealous of Ramona, and then at the very end, it was like, she, like, you know, realized everything, and then she was, like, okay with everything, and she was, like, the most adult out of everybody, you know? And, like, she, like, got it. Like, I don't think Scott Pilgrim got it, even though he went through all that fight.
So, out of both comparisons, like, you did say that you enjoyed, you enjoyed Kick-Ass more over Scott Pilgrim. Was there a reason behind that?
I mean, I guess overall, like, when I went into seeing Kick-Ass, basically all I really knew about it was that, it was just, like, a guy, regular dude, that went out and did superhero stuff. Like, on his own free time.
Because a lot of people thought, when they saw the trailer for Kick-Ass, they thought, like, oh, it looked a little cheesy. But then when they watched it, it was, like, this cheesy, but it was real cheesy.
But you know what? I don't even think I saw the trailer or anything. You know what? Recently, when I've been watching movies, I've actually been trying to stay out of watching, like, all this pre-stuff before the movie comes out. Like, I haven't been reading reviews, haven't really been watching much trailers, and, you know, I might hear a bit here and there, but... I've been trying to stay out of it and just be surprised when I sit down in my seat and watch the movie.
But you enjoyed the action and that love of Kick-Ass more than... Because I remember we were saying Scott Pilgrim's like the hipster movie. This is the hipster
movie. I did
movie.
Like in Scott Pilgrim remember that when it has like the sound effects. Like I did like... And I did like the manga lines, the action lines when they're like zooming out. Like the real
and
like
changed,
zooms.
And like, they changed like the film ratio and went split screen. And
yeah, like I definitely liked a lot of aspects of that.
It was like
Scott
a real
Pilgrim.
It was like a real like a live action manga basically.
Yeah, it looked great.
Or anime.
And I loved
or manga.
Manga. Excuse me, it's not manga, it's manga.
It's manga.
Got it right. But like, you know, I enjoyed the effects So that was awesome.
I enjoyed the line that one guy said was like, yeah, like the first album was definitely better than the first album. It's just like,
I think
the comic book is always better than the movie. Like, there's little lines hidden in there.
Yeah. Scott Pilgrim's dialogue was definitely very zippy and tangy.
I mean, the cutting and everything was zippy and tangy.
Yeah. It was interesting. Like that. You know, I'd like to use those words for Scott Pilgrim. But I'm just saying the overall, like, value of it at the very end, the more you dissect it and break it down like this radio show has, the Carolyn and Joe show, you know, like, I just feel like Scott Pilgrim's pretty weak. I think he's an interesting character.
Oh, you're talking about the character?
Yeah. But you not the movie, the character.
You like...
the character of Scott Pilgrim.
Well, Michael Cera is pretty weak. Who can you say that? People complained a lot about Michael Cera's character just being, like, there.
Do you think it's him, though? Do you think if someone else played Scott Pilgrim, it would be better?
If
really? Do you think he's the problem? Maybe he might be the problem.
You think if Kick-Ass played Scott Pilgrim?
I think that would be too much going with the comic book movies right after each other.
Why?
It just would be. Because he's either Kick-Ass or Scott Pilgrim. He can't be both.
See, what about the guy from Adventureland or Zombieland or
who?
Social Network? That guy.
The guy from Social Network?
Michael Cera 3.
I don't know who he is. But, I mean, maybe it might be better.
Because everyone's
Michael Cera 3. That's going to be that guy's name.
Michael
and even
Cera
that
3.
Guy, there was what were we watching? We were watching Conan, and Michael Cera was on Conan. And then there was, like, a lady there from Family, whatever.
From the Modern Family.
Modern Family. And then when she met Michael Cera, she was like, oh my God, I loved you in The Social Network.
What we
he wasn't even in there.
What we missed on that is that, like, during Michael Cera's segment, is that Conan brought up the fact that, like, people think he always gets, what's it called? He always gets misidentified
as the guy from Facebook,
as the guy from Social Network, and they had a picture back to back comparison.
Did they look the same?
And then Michael Cera was like, on the screen, Social Network guy was on the left, Michael Cera's on the right, and Michael Cera plays it off like, yeah, I think I'm the guy on the right. I'm not quite sure though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, there is a brand now of, like, the Michael Cera. You know?
Yeah.
The shy guy doesn't quite know what to say. He has feelings, but he just can't release them.
Yeah.
And that's what happened at the end of Scott Pilgrim. He had feelings. I mean, we know he had feelings.
Now you want to see that alternative ending and be like, that's how the movie should end it.
Yeah, but, I mean, we know he has feelings, okay? But he had problem, like, releasing it. And maybe that was the lesson. Maybe the lesson is that some of these modern guys just don't know how to talk to people.
I think
it's a communication problem.
I think that's what it is. The modern guy hides it behind, like, this ridiculous sarcasm.
But even when he was, like, trying to break up with Knives, he was just like, "Oh, but it's so hard."
We should.
He thought it would be a good idea to break up. You know, he agreed with that, but it just took him so long to do that.
Do you think Michael Cera is tired of Michael Cera at this point?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know how he really feels.
Maybe it's just like how when Kevin Smith was telling, was directing, what's his face? Bruce Willis. You're like, yeah, just do the thing you did, like, you Die Hard, man. Do you think that's how people direct Michael Cera? Just do the super bad thing, you know, like, yeah.
Also in the Nick and Nora, which I never saw.
Yeah, Infinite Playlist.
He play the same character?
He played the same exact character.
You know, that's the thing. That's the thing, Michael Cera, if you're listening,
wow.
I actually don't dislike you. It's just that, like, you're playing the same character in every single thing you do.
It's like he's making millions, right?
That's great.
He can stop now, right?
But if he's gonna make another movie, he just needs to be something different.
Maybe
like something that, you know, you never would expect Michael Cera to be.
Maybe Scott Pilgrim is the it. That's it. After that, he was like, no more. No more playing Michael Cera. I'm not gonna play Michael Cera.
But is he playing? Because I don't know how he actually is in real life. Is that pretty much him?
Yeah, that's pretty much him.
Because that kind of sucks, though. Because then he's like, everyone hates me being me.
I feel like that's the same with Juno. That's the same with Ellen Page.
I thought that Juno was his best.
Well, that was like this.
I did
breakout.
Also like Superbad. Hey, I didn't mind him in Superbad. See, Michael Cera in Scott Pilgrim, I'd say the first 25% of it, I wasn't like super annoyed, but I was just like, man, this is Michael Cera.
I enjoyed.
And then I got into it, and I didn't have a problem with it. But
I enjoyed. Here's what I enjoyed, like performance-wise, I liked Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Knives, even Macaulay Culkin's brother,
Kieran Culkin.
Yeah. Who else did I like? I like the Sexba Bombs. Like anything involving the Sexba Bombs. Huge.
Do you like Jillian?
Who's Jillian?
From Gillian.
Jillian?
Gillian.
Gillian?
Yeah, Jason Schwartzman.
Gideon?
Oh, Gideon.
It's like Jillian.
I don't know, Gideon. I thought it was Gideon.
The G-Man? With his,
yeah,
I want to get G-Man. The G-Man shirt.
The G-Man shirt was pretty rad.
It's an awesome G-Man shirt. There's a lot more branding happening in Scott Pilgrim that we can like.
Yeah, I liked a lot of
sex bombs.
I think basically my problem with Scott Pilgrim was like the characters.
Problem
with Scott Pilgrim is Scott Pilgrim, like, and that's your title character, and like the ending and all that. You know, like it was just tied up in a pretty bow, but there was no emotion behind it. I didn't feel for it as much as I would want to, you know? You know when you feel for characters and you feel emotional about them? I didn't really have as much as I would like, you know? Like, I just didn't have it.
It was a visual spectacle.
Which is, you know,
what about that
there needs to be more to take it to the next level.
Did you feel more towards Kick-Ass? Is that what happened? Like, after
I felt more towards Kick-Ass.
When
Kick-Ass got hit. When Kick-Ass got beat down, I was feeling the punches,
and
you know?
And when Hit-Girl started railing, you know, when her dad got set on fire and stuff like that.
Yeah, and even like at the end when Hit-Girl's like all like safe in like a good family environment, you know, I'm like, I've even felt that. Like, I was like, oh cool, now Hit-Girl's like in good hands, you know? Like, I felt good about that, you know? And like, just everything like wrapped up better, you know? And, but you know, for, I guess like the one part that I felt the most for was like Knives, when he broke up with Knives. I was just like, oh, that sucks for Knives, but it had to be done. You know, because otherwise, like, she would have been hurt in the long term even harder.
Yeah.
But you know, that I at least felt like her suckiness, you know? Like, how she probably felt, you know?
Yeah.
Because that actress did a good face during that moment.
And it was also cool whenever she did get pissed off. Like, that was good for her character, for her to break up, get broken up with.
Yeah.
To get dumped, basically.
Like, basically, because then she Knives transforms. Is, like, the star of that show. I'm going to be straight up about that.
That she stole the show for
I
you.
Think, like, Ramona Flowers was good, but Knives just took it to a whole nother level because she had a bigger range.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if that's how the book is, Brian.
And also, Gillian? Or what is that? What is it?
Gideon. G-Man. Yes. Just call him G-Man.
G-Man, like, he was, out of all the evil exes, he had the most to him, which is, like, the good thing, because he was the main evil ex at the very end. He had the most coins.
But he's also...
you know?
I like that coin thing.
Yeah, I
coins.
Did like that.
Cool. Cool.
I like
cool,
the cool. coins.
And also, it was his plan. Gideon's the boss.
Yeah.
So it was his plan all
along.
But
he had that motive, you know? And even, like, also, there was one part where, like, I guess to advance the story, I know why it happened, but, like, Ramona Flowers was like, yeah, he's a big jerk, and you can have him, because you two can have each other. I don't want... Gideon or Gillian or whatever his name is, you know, she's like, I don't want G-Man anymore. And then like,
well,
the, and then
she
the
was
next
brainwashed,
scene,
though she had that
that's true.
Chip in her head.
And then the next scene, she's like with him, and she's all zombie like.
He has a way of
getting into
her head. Yeah,
you know, and then she's all zombie like. You know, I guess like, you know, I can understand to advance the story, she would need to be with him so that like Michael Cera could battle it. You know, but I just didn't like how, like, at the end, it's like, he had to be told what to do. He didn't know for sure, you know, if he should really pursue his dream girl anymore. It's like...
So he's a wuss. I don't know.
Do you think so? Do you agree with that assessment?
I mean, I totally agree. I mean, I liked Ramona's character more than Scott. I mean, it was cool to see Scott fight.
She felt stronger, and she felt...
But
Ramona
stole it.
Ramona was a stronger character, like... internally than Scott, because Scott was still trying to figure stuff out.
This is how,
and
so,
Ramona like knew herself better.
So basically Scott is the train, but the people inside the train are more important. You know, you're paying attention to who's inside the train.
And also in a way Kick-Ass is kind of like that, because Kick-Ass's character was kind of plain. And then
I don't know about that.
I mean, he's
remember, he had to go and make that costume, he had to fight.
That's
all these,
true.
He had to deal with all
but
these
he
people.
But they still tried to bring him to the level of, like, the everyday guy. Everyday boy.
But he is the everyday boy trying to make it up there.
He is.
And that's what was important about him. So it's different.
So therefore, you know, Kick-Ass...
It's two different everyday boys.
Yeah.
The everyday boy.
Okay, so everyday boy is Scott Pilgrim and Kick-Ass, but Kick-Ass kicks more ass.
There you go. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed the show. Check out astrayproductions.com, curls-studio.com, as opposed to check us out tomorrow at the Busboys and Poets, right, in D.C.
Yes.
I hope you enjoyed the show. Yes, Scott Pilgrim vs. Kick-Ass. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
See you later, Carolyn. Have a good night.
Kick-Ass. I shame you, blood.
enough. I gave you all that you can drink, and it has never been enough. I gave you blood, blood.